Let's take a moment into the silence and be still. Father, I step aside. I stand still. I bear witness to what you do. Well, good morning. Let's see, we are studying the book of John, chapter 5, and A Parenthesis in Eternity by Joel Goldsmith, chapter 6. So, chapter 5, we're going to do a little bit. I don't think we're doing the whole thing because, well, we'll see. All right, chapter 5. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Now that number five again is telling you something to do with the five physical senses. Remember, we are formed by those five senses, which create concepts in that little box inside of our minds, and that's what we see. When we step outside of that box for a moment, as the disciples did when Jesus took them out up on higher consciousness and showed them the transfiguration, they saw the body of light, which is what we really are, what we really have. All that the Father has is ours. But does he have matter? M-A-T-T-E-R? Any matter at all? No. God doesn't have matter. That's why it can dissolve and will dissolve. What does God have? You need to go into your meditation and ask him. Father, what do you have? I understand that all that thou hast is mine too, but what do you have? What do we have? And if you're patient and quiet, it may not be revealed to you in your meditation, but you'll suddenly find a book which talks about it, or you'll suddenly hear a talk that talks about it, or it will be revealed to you in your consciousness, and then you'll have a realization of what the Father has to give you. So, lately, as you know, if you've been listening to me, I've been harping on this idea that we were formed by the mind, by those concepts we just referred to. And the mind has concepts, probably trillions or zillions of concepts. And that mind forms with those concepts a human body, the appearance of a human body. Now that mind contains good and evil, the duality. It's a duality mind or consciousness, little C consciousness. And it can form as good or it can form as evil. But it's a form made by hands and it's not eternal. Now the form that we want to see and live in is the form made without hands. The form made in the silence, the form that was created before the world was, the form that's hid with Christ in God. We want to know, we want to live in that incorporeal form, a form without matter. And as we live in it and begin to live in it, it will outpicture and it will show up out here as a new form of harmony. Therefore, I like this idea. It sure does appeal to me. It feels really right that it's not so much we need to be born again as we need to be formed again, reformed by the renewing of our mind. Okay, so I bring that up because lately in my meditations, I've been seeing that God has nothing to do with matter. So I can't pray for better matter or improved matter. I can only have union with God. And the level that I reach in that union with God is not only the level here, but it's the level everywhere. Anyone reaching out to that capital C consciousness will touch that level and be lifted to that level, sometimes slowly, sometimes quickly. So I bring that up because I see it in here. Here's a pool having five porches. Well, that should tell you right now it has to do with matter. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. That would be waiting for spirit, wouldn't it? Whenever there's a movement of the water, water is consciousness. The movement is the Holy Spirit. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. I find that really fascinating when I look at that and I read that. If you take it literally, you have to say to yourself, wow, you know, that must have been a very strange time period when you could walk up into this pool and step in it and be healed. We've had other situations like that too, I know. Anyway, if you don't take it literally, then you can see the principles. Remember, we said that it has been said that there is seven layers to everything, every word that is uttered by Christ. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Will thou be made whole? That's a very important question. It's an important question because you should answer it yourself. Will thou be made whole? That means, will you learn to live in your holy, incorporeal, invisible self? Will you be made whole? Really? Are you now ready to leave matter? Please understand that this doesn't mean you're going to not see matter and be walking in the invisible. Oh, that could happen in meditation, but you'll come back to where you see it. You have a reason that you're here. And as you begin to walk in the invisible, that reason will be revealed. Something will open up. But you'll understand now that it's not opening up to your humanhood. It's opening up to the Christ of you, which is taking over. All right, coming back here. The impudent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Sounds like an excuse to me. The answer should have been, "Yes, I will be made whole." Thank God that Christ has compassion. Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now we know from our spiritual studies that the real Sabbath is a state of consciousness in which we rest. We just rest. We rest with eyes open, we rest with eyes closed. We rest when we're driving, we rest when we're walking, we rest when we're sleeping, we rest when we're working. And in that rest, well, that's the way we say yes to the answer, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Yes, I am resting, Father. Thy will be done. So the real Sabbath is a spiritual experience, and it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. If you've had the experience, there's nothing like it. It's heaven on earth. And it really, really is. Now, the Jews, therefore, said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." Pardon me while I answer this. Sorry about the interruption. We work with foster children. And we work with foster children. And I get phone calls on them, especially when I'm here alone, like right now. And I'm trying to get the hang of Zoom here with a background. All right. So the Sabbath day is supposed to be a very special thing. It's the place where we become so still that we can feel that movement over the face of the waters, the face of the deep, the face of our consciousness. And the Jews are saying, "It's the Sabbath day. Why are you carrying your bed?" Well, he answered and said, "This man that made me whole, he said, 'Take up thy bed and walk.'" Then they said unto him, "What man?" And he that was healed, well, he didn't know who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." Now, the sin would be the five physical senses where we started this story. He's telling them, stop that. You need to be formed again by consciousness, by Christ consciousness. And you have been. So don't go back to the five physical senses, or a worse thing can come unto you, a worse concept. The man departed and told the Jews it was Jesus that made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him. Okay, what should be a beautiful spiritual experience, the Sabbath, has become something so ugly that they're going to use it to kill him. Only the human mind can corrupt something that bad. Only the human mind can turn something beautiful so ugly. But that's the swing of the pendulum. Bad and good, and bad and good, and good and bad. Bad and good. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." This next bit is a real big clue. Because we should be doing what Jesus is doing. He's the way shower. And he says, "Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Oh, wow. He made himself equal with God. And we need to make ourselves equal with God. We can do that in our meditation first. Father, consciousness, I, consciousness, and the Father are one. And therefore, consciousness is God. Did you know that? And whose consciousness? Yours, mine, everyone's. Infinite consciousness is God. And when you're not operating exclusively with the five physical senses, you're not operating from a little C consciousness. Not from a human consciousness. You're operating from the big C consciousness. From the I in the midst of you. This is so subtle, so soft, so gentle. You can't get a hold of it. You try to get a hold of it and you can't. It's like quicksilver. When I have a meditation and I feel that presence, I just want to grab it and stay there. And you can't. You try to grab it and now there's two of you again. And it dissipates. It's a, what a path. So, he made himself equal with God, and that's what we have to do. We have to make ourselves equal with God. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." All right, so who is the Son that quickeneth? Are you the Son of God? What does Paul have to say about it? "If so be that the Spirit dwelleth in you, then you are the Son of God." Spirit is consciousness. It's another word. Spirit, consciousness, God, Christ, Father. They're words. When you have the experience, you will know what which word is your word. Joel really loved the infinite invisible and Christ. He was taught on the inner planes by Christ. And he always gave Christ the credit. I like to say the presence, because that's what it feels like. It feels like a presence that fills this whole woods, the whole forest. In fact, the entire earth, sometimes I can feel it filling the universe. But a lot of the times I'll also say Father, because it's the source of me, the source of I. So your word will come to you. Don't pick somebody else's word or a word that's popular. Your own will come unto you. Now, give me a second here. I have something to do. I'll be right back. We're going to switch over to a parenthesis in eternity. The name of this chapter is Chapter 6, God, the Consciousness of the Individual. And as we said, I think it was last week, Joel stated that the consciousness, the word consciousness, was the most important word in the infinite way. And we are seeing that you must be reformed of consciousness. Well, that's not entirely true either. Here's the truth. The truth is that if you are walking around in a physical body and you're walking around in a material universe, then you're living in the dream. Everybody says it. Everybody knows it. But we still live in it most of the time. Some of us are beginning to have meditations in which we find there's another universe. In the New Horizon, Joel says above this universe is another universe. Let's see. I have my Infinite Way book over there. Let me get it. In fact, I can just pull it up on the computer here over on my other screen, I think. If I can do it. All right. Did you see that? Office software popping up. Let me get to that New Horizon. I think he says, above the sense life is the universe of spirit, governed by love, peopled with children of God. Yeah, that's it. We don't need to look it up. So I like behind this universe rather than above this universe. So there's another universe. There's another self. And as you walk or rest back and begin to feel your infinite self and feel this other universe, you begin to, well, at first you begin to sense it. Then you begin to move in it. Sometimes while your eyes are open, you're in that other universe for a minute or two. As we continue, we find ourselves in that universe more and more. And that universe is the one that consciousness created. If you look at the first chapter of Genesis, consciousness formed all that was formed and saw that it was very good. Period. That should have been the end of the story. Except I think you and I probably said, oh, I want my own life. Consciousness said, you can't have your own life. You'd have to fall asleep and dream of one. You'd have to imagine one. I want my own life. Okay. So here we are dreaming, right? So it's not true that we need to be reformed. We're already formed in his image and likeness as consciousness formed. But we're not living in that form. We're not living in that universe. We're living in a five-sense form. A physical form, a form made of matter, and in a universe made of matter, which God did not make. It's crazy, isn't it? But we wandered our own lives. And I don't know about you, but I am tired. No, thank you. I don't want my own life anymore. I want the life that consciousness formed. So, yes, in a sense, we have to be reformed by consciousness, but really what's happening is we are awakening to the original form, which is in God's image and likeness. The original form is the Son of God. So are you the Son of God? Well, when you, as you become more and more consciously aware of it, yes, you are. You are the Son of God. So we just read that God loves the Son and shows him all things. So yes, God, the consciousness of the individual. I'm going to skip around. I don't think we have much time. Let's see. Yeah, we're getting close. Many persons think that they understand the mystery of life. Yeah. Okay. Everything that is visible first had to have an invisible something to send it into form. And that invisible something is consciousness. Now we're getting down to it. We need to be formed by consciousness, or we need to allow consciousness form to live itself. There is something about us that what we, there is something about us greater than what we appear to be. Eventually we will discover that that something is our consciousness. So important. This is the whole thing. If you can find a way to step out of a material sense of existence and live as a beholder and behold consciousness forms and consciousness forming itself, well, you will have found the kingdom of heaven here and now and your true identity. Only when we have discerned that God, the infinite invisible, functions as our individual consciousness, can we understand the true meaning of I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What can be with us throughout all time except our consciousness? The Master called this consciousness the Father within. And he said, I and my Father are one. Certainly, we and our consciousness are one. How can we be separate or apart from our consciousness? You see? Now, when you have discerned that God, the infinite invisible, functions as your individual consciousness, you have made yourself equal with God, haven't you? If you mount up to heaven, you take your consciousness with you. If you make your bed in hell, it is with you. And no matter what problems or troubles arise, turning to your consciousness can bring you release. Yes, develop a relationship with your consciousness, with the Father within. Watch the difference in your approach to life when you know God aright, and then read the Gospels and understand life as presented by the Master. So he's saying, pardon me for a minute, he's saying that when you know that God and consciousness are one, you can read the Gospels and understand life as presented by the Master. And before that, no, you'll probably take some literal and understand others. In my mind's eye, Joel says, I can see Gautama before he became the Buddha. I can see him walking through all those forests in India, going from teacher to teacher and being told that if he would sit in the lotus position, stand on his head, lie down on a bed of nails, abstain from meat, or cease praying to God for anything, he would surely find God. The poor man is bewildered. He's honest. He's sincere. He does it all, but he does not find God. I'll answer this and get right back. That was a call from Asheville Missions Hospital. And my daughter-in-law was telling me that Madeline just came out of the operating room and everything went well. and she's in the recovery room now, and they see no reason why she can't go home after a little while, well, tomorrow. And so I thought, for those of you that have been praying and meditating, I would tell you that. Whatever appearance was there is not there now. All right, so. He had been seeking God in practices, exercises, diets, and fasting. And God is not to be found in any of these. God is to be found only within. It is not easy to shut out the world and enter the inner sanctuary of your being. Now listen to this. This is our teacher, Christ, speaking through Joel. But if you have to do this and stay away from the world for a year or 7 years, it is worth it. Because when you find God, you will find life eternal. Then you will never die. You may pass from view, but you will never die. Now, what does that mean? I asked that question within a while back because it seemed that everywhere I looked, Jesus was constantly saying, you'll have eternal life, and somebody else everlasting life, and somebody else life eternal. And what does that mean? I mean, I don't see anybody walking on the earth that, well, I don't see Joel, I don't see Herb, I don't see Jesus, I don't see Bob up there in Chicago. I don't see people that were very spiritual walking around. Looks like they died, doesn't it? But the answer is no. Eternal life means that when you pass from this stage and you drop your body and you go on, you will not ever, ever, ever forget what you have done. Can you hear that thunder where you are? I might have to leave in a hurry here. We'll see. So, or maybe that's just an exclamation point. You will never forget what you have done and who you were. Okay, you know how we probably have had dozens and dozens of lives to get where we are. But do you remember in any of them? Sometimes people in a trance or in hypnosis can remember a past life or dream of a past life. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about right now. Can you at will go back and remember a life? What you did on a certain Tuesday? That's why the progress that we've made we've never been able to hang on to it. But now, because of the work that Christ did, as we come into an awareness of our true identity, we will never die. We will pass from the scene, but we will remember everything we did, everything we saw, everything we realized, everyone we knew. We'll remember. There will be no break in consciousness. It'll be continuous. It'll be eternal. So I'm kind of excited about that. And also Joel said that those of us on the spiritual path, when we pass, we are rocketed forward on the path. And I'm looking forward to that too. All right. So, pressing on. To know him aright is life eternal, but we do not know God aright until we know him as our infinite divine consciousness. The issues of life are invisible in consciousness, and as a greater understanding of this truth is gained, consciousness will then come forth in greater measure in our experience. We will be reformed by consciousness. You see that? God's not out there amongst the stars of the Pleiades constellation. He's not in Ursula Minor or out there past Jupiter. God is within you, your very own consciousness. You can't get away from God. We are that infinite consciousness. That means if God is your consciousness and you are your consciousness, yeah, don't say it, but know it. We open ourselves to infinity. Let us begin with the realization that we are not form. We are consciousness. And by our devotion to meditation, we bring forth a greater degree and deeper awareness of God consciousness. And God consciousness always appears out here as form. And you don't know what the form is or what it's going to be. That's the beauty of it. When we realize that we are God consciousness expressing itself as individual form and variety, we do not feel so great a responsibility to perpetuate our little selves or even to be over-concerned about our creature comforts. Yes, you can tell when someone begins making progress. I mean, real progress. There's nothing wrong with asking for help if you're showing forth lack and limitation or disease or loneliness or something. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. I do it. But we should be getting to the place, though, those of us that have been on this path for some time, where now we're making the transformation from living a personal sense of life that needs these things to living the impersonal life, consciousness forming itself. In one of the wisdoms, Joel says, consciousness lives itself. You don't live it. It's a bit of a humbling statement, but it's true. So, I can tell when someone's beginning to make real progress because they're not asking for stuff for themselves. They may ask to be lifted up so that they'd be a better instrument. But I don't see them asking for something for themselves. And when you reach that level of consciousness, consciousness is forming itself. You don't have to ask because it's already giving you harmony and abundance and love. And thunder, the thunder of silence. Okay. Let's see. Life cannot be seen with physical eyes. Well, there you go. Whatever you see is not life. Life itself is invisible. We see only the forms which life assumes. Okay, so. The first talk I ever made, I said, if you can see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, or smell it, it's not real. It's a false identity, a false universe, a false body. We train ourselves not to eat or drink at any time without consciously pausing for a second to realize that whatever it is that we are going to eat or drink comes out of the invisible, God appearing as our individual consciousness is its source. Always we turn our thought to God as the invisible source. You see, you have to dwell more and more in the invisible. And then watch how in a few days or weeks, things begin to take place that never happened before. Ah, consciousness is forming itself. With everything that comes into our experience, we dwell for a second on the invisible nature of its source, realizing that it has its foundation in the consciousness which we are. That infinite divine consciousness which sent us into expression brings all good into our life. And that's what we should be doing, living, bearing witness to consciousness. Everything that appears in our life must first be a part of our consciousness. I told you before, I never saw a Subaru. Well, I saw one, but it was like a half truck. And when I moved up here to the north in the mountains, I knew I needed something for the snow. So I went looking and I researched online, and the Subaru got a pretty nice rating, as did the Toyota. So I said, okay, I'll go look. There was a Subaru dealer in Asheville. So I went down there and I looked. I test drove an Outback and I really liked it. So I bought it. And we came back home. It was a green, like a forest green Outback. We came home and I started driving that. I would go to the store, which is about 10 miles away. I'd park in the parking lot, and all of a sudden there's another Subaru, forest green even. And then there's another one driving down the street, although it's white. And here's another one, red. There's another. And pretty soon I saw Subaru Outbacks everywhere. Why? Because they became a part of my consciousness. Once I bought one, it was in my consciousness. And then it began to appear everywhere, because consciousness is everywhere. And that's the secret to healing. If you can go within yourself and recognize that consciousness and God are one, I in the midst of thee, then you will see it manifest everywhere, to anyone, anywhere, reaching out to your consciousness. At that moment that you're experiencing consciousness and God as one. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Consciousness is omnipresent. So there is no way to break undue attachment except through, I need to read this part up on top of it. Instead of living a material life in and of things, we live a spiritual life in and of cause. Consciousness is cause. There's no way to break undue attachment except through dwelling constantly in the fact that there is an invisible cause, or I guess that's going to have to be part one, and this will be part two, because the thunder and lightning knocked out my modem and Zoom just exited. All right, so let's try this again. There is no way to break undue attachment except through dwelling constantly in the fact that there is an invisible cause or source of all that appears. Consciousness. Your consciousness. Your real identity. And what is it what is that invisible but consciousness? And whose consciousness but ours, since it is our consciousness that is drawing to us our experiences? When we realize God as the substance and fabric of our consciousness, this is a big one, we then begin to draw forth from it only good. But if we draw from human consciousness, there is always the possibility of drawing good or evil. Consciousness is the essence and the substance of all that is. Not a consciousness, not the consciousness, but your consciousness. Whatever our experience is, it is an emanation of our consciousness. We are God expressed as individual being. Another phone call. Okay. Are you getting the point of this chapter? We are God expressed as individual being. Consciousness expressed. Consciousness formed. That is what we are when we are the Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You really are invisible, incorporeal, and infinite, immortal. The search for truth has always and ever been a search for a way to return to God consciousness, return to the Father's house. In my father's house are many mansions. House means consciousness. On the spiritual path, we are seeking to die to our human life, a life made up of both good and evil, and be reborn or reformed in our original essence, divine consciousness, or God life. We are consciousness. Consciousness is our true identity. Consciousness is the infinity of our being. Consciousness is the source of our being. Consciousness is the creative principle, and it is our state of consciousness that has manifested itself as our particular form and experience. The most important factor in our lives and in our progress on the spiritual path is consciousness, our individual consciousness. Yes, and he said that consciousness was the most important word in the infinite way. So, I believe that's all of the writings that we'll look at this week. Are you seeing that you are consciousness? If you don't know what you are as consciousness, you just sit down and you say, consciousness, reveal thyself. Consciousness is what I am, but I don't know what that is. Father, what is consciousness? Show me. Consciousness, consciousness, form yourself, and I will behold. I will bear witness. I will see. And then you should have an experience. Feel something within you. And if you rest in it and don't try to grab it, in a day or two, you will see it formed out here as some form of harmony. Why has consciousness come? I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. As a man told me once, row upon row upon row. And another man said, heaped up, pressed down, and running over. That's nice, but it's wonderful as an experience. When you have that experience and you begin to see, hey, I'm not dependent on anything out here. I'm not. My supply, everything I need for my welfare and also to pass on to others, is provided by this consciousness that sent me here. He that sent me here is he that provides. Then you begin to walk a little lighter. You begin to see why it really works. It really works. And it's amazing to me in the detail that consciousness can form. I see things that had to start 20 or 30 years ago. Here's an example. When Madeline and I were running a group home, we saw that there's got to be a place that we can put these kids after they've finished the treatment in the group home. So we started a therapeutic foster care program. And we trained the parents, and I got training, and Madeline got training so we could train the parents. And we began to take the children that had finished our program and put them with foster parents that we had trained. Well, people, I guess, will always be people. We would say to them, Madeline would usually say to them, I was more of the bookkeeper. I took care of the books and made sure that the foster parents were paid and all things like that. I took care of, when you it's insurance. I took care of the doctors carry it. I can't think of it now. Anyway, it'll come to me. I took care of that insurance that covers you if you make a mistake. And professional liability. Thank you. So that was expensive too. But anyway, I took care of that, made sure it was paid and up to date and all that stuff. I dealt with the people in Raleigh online that were making out the checks and placing the children. And Madeline went out and trained the parents and talked to the parents. Well, we could see where the parents were going to blow a placement because they were getting into a power struggle with these kids. And you have to know how to avoid a power struggle. And Madeline's a master at that. I mean, she just has such an intuitive nature about that. She can sidestep it like a matador. Ole, and the bull goes on by and doesn't touch her at all. Well, these parents didn't have that yet. And so we tried to train them. But then they said things like, oh, we've raised 5 kids. We know how to do it. And you knew on the drive home, they were unteachable. And you knew that the child was going to blow the placement because the parents wouldn't listen to the training that we'd had and the experience we'd had over 20 some odd years, now 30. Anyway, we got to the place where Madeline said, look, I just want to be a foster parent again. And I don't want to, run these programs anymore. And she said, these parents, they're just so aggravating. They won't listen to advice. And then the placement's blown. And then the kid has nowhere to go. And, you know, we have to place them back in a group home or whatever. And so it just wasn't working real well. So I said, okay, I don't know how we're going to do it because we're going to have to come up with another way to make a living. Well, I looked online and there was an organization called Family Preservation, and they looked like a really decent organization. And so I contacted them and asked them if they would like to buy our operation. And they said, yes, they've been trying to get into North Carolina for a long time. They were in Virginia, they were in South Carolina, and Tennessee, and a lot of other states, but they weren't yet in North Carolina. And so I said, well, let's do it. So they paid us a certain amount of money, several thousand, and took over the business. Well, people in Raleigh got all excited because they didn't want somebody else moving in. You know, they had a lot of good old boys there. And they said to us, if you sell it, you can't work there for a year. So what are we supposed to live on for a year, right? Well, this was one of those situations where I went within and I knew that consciousness could form itself. Consciousness was the answer, not joining or not joining any organization. It was consciousness. So we trained the people to come in and take over our business. They paid us some money, but that money ran out. Still, I knew consciousness is the answer, and I rested in it. Yes, I had days where I worried too, but I reminded myself, no, it's consciousness. It's not out there. I went to the mailbox one day in the middle of this, and I pulled out a letter from a lawyer up in Pennsylvania. Was it Pennsylvania? Maybe it was Michigan. I can't remember. Anyway, the letter was from an attorney, and he said, you have a great aunt that has passed away and left you some money. Really? Yes. Give me a call and I'll mail you a check. So I did that. And that was also a few thousand. And it came exactly on time. And you have to ask yourself, how in the heck she started her life 80, 90 years ago. We just sold the business. We just got the word that we can't work for it for a year. That's one of the rules in Raleigh. So for a year, we couldn't work for it. We could train them, and we even got paid for some training, but we couldn't be foster parents. So out of the blue, here comes this check that had to be planned. When was it planned? Think about it. So that's what fascinates me, the way consciousness works and these little details that you just can't believe are coming together all at the same time. But that's the beauty and the perfection and the harmony of consciousness. All right, so you are consciousness. You don't know it now, but as you allow it to live itself, consciousness lives itself, you will see. First, you'll see this is something. This is great. And you'll want to tell everybody about it, but you can't because they're not ready. They won't believe you. So you keep it secret. You can share with someone else that's walking this path or share with the group that you're meditating with. So that's the first thing, is you'll just think this is wonderful. But then the second thing will be, how do I come into the realization that I am consciousness? Consciousness is I. And God is consciousness. And God is I. You'll have to work with it a little more and meditate a little more and read a little more. Maybe ask questions if you need to. And you will come into the realization that I and my consciousness, God, are one. And you will make yourself equal with God. So, another phone call. So let's be still for a minute, okay? And we'll wrap this up. Hopefully the phone won't ring. Thank you, Father. Consciousness is what I am. And I'm still. I'm listening. I am receptive to consciousness. Let consciousness form itself. Open my eyes to what consciousness is, what consciousness has formed. This is the day that consciousness made, and I will be glad and rejoice in it. Well, I don't know how to splice these together, so we'll just have a part one and part two. And I thank you for the trouble of listening to both of them. And thank you for drawing this out. I had really no idea. A lot of times I have no idea. I have a hint way back there somewhere of what we might be talking about, but I don't really know until I'm here. And then I know, thank you for drawing that out. Okay. God bless you. I love you. You can do this.